I know this is hard to believe for those of you who have ever listened to our podcast. We actually do plan some things out ahead of time.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to our one-year anniversary show. This is Molly. It's definitely not Tim. And I'm telling you that this episode is with Melissa Kersher. It's our one-year anniversary show recorded live at Convergence. Not Tim.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. We are recording live at Convergence 2013. Fantastic. Thank you, everybody. That's our amazing live studio audience. I am your host, Molly Glover. I am joined, as always, by my husband, Nick Glover.
Hey.
And Tim Wick.
That's me.
And today, our guest is Melissa Kersher, our first ever guest, and now she's back.
Yeah.
Say hi to the people, Melissa.
Hi, people.
All right. So, it is our anniversary show. This is literally, we started our show here at Convergence last year, and we have been recording faithfully every week since then, and now we're back. And so, Melissa, I'm so glad you're here with us.
There you go.
Okay, it's been a long weekend for Tim Wick. All right. So, we wanted to talk about religious upbringing, specifically, because Melissa had no religious upbringing. Is that correct?
Absolutely zero.
So like
you're so lucky.
Yeah. So are your parents atheists or just nothingists or
just
what's
kind
the
of nothingness?
Okay.
Nothingists. Right. It's really weird. Pretty much everybody in my more immediate family just no religion whatsoever. Nothing.
Kind of apatheist.
Kind of apatheist. And then my paternal grandmother, Christian Scientist.
Oh.
Nobody else around here, Christian Scientist, just her. She just one day decided to be Christian Scientist and
weird.
That's it.
Did she stop taking medicine and things like that too and all
know.
Of it?
She was like that since she was young.
Weird.
Like, when she was 20. She actually went to college which was rare for a woman who was brought up in her time period, but she decided to be a Christian Scientist one day and was that for the rest of her life. And
wow.
But that was it. Everybody else in the family was like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, that's, are you local? Have you grown up around here?
I grew up, born and raised in Minneapolis.
And your family and everybody else, like how far back? Like just, I mean, everyone's been from Minnesota for a while?
I think my paternal grandmother came in from the East Coast, but everybody else was like Minnesota and
sure.
Iowa for a while,
sure.
way
well,
back.
So when you were in school, was it weird? I mean, obviously, like, I mean, the people are talking, kids talk about religion. I know my little sister once was like, what are we? Mm-hmm. Are we Jews or Muslims or Christians or what? Because we didn't really have much either, so.
Yeah, you know, I never really ran across it because I was raised in urban Minneapolis, and I don't know, everybody kind of has their own stripes, and
mm-hmm.
I was kind of the weird kid anyway, so nobody really talked to me much.
I don't know anything about
public
that.
School?
I'm sorry?
Public school?
Yes.
District 1, Minneapolis Public Schools?
Robbinsdale.
Okay, sure, mm-hmm. sure.
I actually currently live less than a mile from where it was born.
Oh.
Yes.
It keeps drawing me back.
when was the first time you ever like were in a church or like holy building, whatever the hell?
I think it was probably when I went to Boston with my mother and we went to the Old North Church as part of a tour.
Wow. Hmm.
Yeah, I think there may have been a couple of weddings in there that I wound up in a church, but other than that, I don't think I saw a church service until I was 12 or 13.
Did you guys celebrate Christmas?
Yeah, we did.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's a secular Christmas.
Yeah. My aunt was an interior designer, so Christmas trees were like awesome to decorate.
Oh, awesome. What about like did you do a weird like an Easter bunny Easter or anything like that?
Yeah, well, chocolate, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Baskets.
Yeah, and you know, bunnies and baskets, but that was about.
But did you ever talk about, well, what's the significance of this holiday? Was that ever
not really. Not really. Nobody really brought it up. I think I you know, I kind of got the gist of it from television because, you know, the 700 Club was on, and you know, eventually you run across and go, what the hell is going on?
Well, it's funny because, like, Tim, the reason we were talking about this was, Tim, when you were at Butnumathon, you told us a story.
Yeah. One of the years that Melissa goes to Butnumathon, as well as myself, it's a film festival in Austin, Texas, 24-hour film festival, and they usually get movie premieres. And one year, we got the premiere of The Passion of the Christ.
It was a rough cut.
It was a rough cut.
The whole thing was a rough cut.
Worse than Passion of Christ.
Yeah, it hadn't been edited down. There was no music, so they had used some Peter Gabriel albums to...
Oh my God!
I'm not kidding.
Was it in your eyes when you went up on the cross?
No, actually, what they had used was Peter Gabriel had a bunch of music that he hadn't used for Temptation of Christ.
Oh.
And it actually became an album named Passion, which I actually own because it's very interesting. It has Middle Eastern stuff.
Yeah.
So when that music came on screen, it's like, I own that. That's Peter Gabriel. But the special effects hadn't been done. So, like, when the whipping's happening at the end, there's just a guy with a stick.
So he watched this film, and I think it's fair to say that virtually everybody in the theater was completely batshit insane loving the film.
Really?
And the row of people from Minnesota, there were 10 of us from Minnesota, and all of us hated it.
Yes!
Yeah.
We just couldn't stand it. I got done and I looked at everybody else and I'm like, am I the only person that feels like I just watched a 3-hour snuff film?
Exactly!
And Melissa's response was the most interesting because she's like, can you guys explain to me who those people were? From a story, and what was fascinating about that was it taught me something about the storytelling of The Passion of the Christ. I mean, for whatever
it's
other
terrible.
Reason.
It's terrible!
Yeah. The movie makes the assumption that everybody watching it knows the story already.
Yeah.
And that is a shitty way to make a movie.
Weird. Christians making assumptions about everybody understanding their faith?
If you're assuming that everyone else knows the story, why even tell the fucking story? I mean...
Yeah.
Well, I would like to say that I'm not in the target audience for this film.
Well...
But it was really interesting because I'm sitting next to Christopher Jones watching this, and I turned to him at one point and go, why are there demons chasing Peter? And he goes, that's Judas. Oh, really?
Yeah.
What about that other guy with the beard? Which guy with the beard is that?
Is that guy a disciple or a Pharisee? I just don't understand.
So
what fuck is a Pharisee?
I haven't. I never saw the movie, but my grandmother. So my nana, she and my now deceased grandfather, they became really religious as they got older, which you know happens to some people. But they went and saw it, and she was telling me, my mom, it's just so good. She's like, it means so much more because you know these people, like you know them, and you know what happened. You can really you remember them. And I'm like, you remember Jesus? I didn't know you were that old. And she's like, oh, Molly Cat, maybe you don't remember Jesus because you're I don't know what you are. You don't even, I don't know what you, and because she can't say atheist. Because she, it's like she can't say
like
gay.
It's stuck in her mouth.
She whispers it. She'll be like, oh, did you know that her son is gay? So she's like, I know you and Nick are.
Mom, she's a
Molly.
Yeah.
Molly, if you want to know what the movie's like, I've got an idea. Let's go get our friend Eric Knight. Let's take off his shirt and whip him in 20 minutes.
Okay.
That's the movie.
I like the whipping Eric Knight part. I don't like the Eric Knight shirtless part.
You said you wanted to know what the movie's like.
Does anyone have a sad trombone sound?
Oh, it
Oh, the kazoo broke.
Oh. Damn wax paper technology.
My board fell off. My kazoo broke.
So, all right. So, Melissa, I'm serious. I mean, so I was raised, we haven't really talked a lot about our upbringings on Geeks Without God. A little bit we have, but my father and my mother, my biological father, was Catholic, so my mother converted for him, and then we were Catholic until I was 9 when my father committed bigamy and adultery and got excommunicated from the Catholic Church, and did we. So
my family would be troubled.
I know. And so my mom then decided that, I mean, she did some church stuff, but mostly just for the community aspect of it. And so we just kind of, my little brother and sister were raised at just kind of nothing. Mm-hmm. And so similar to you, like they just, they don't really know much about it. My one time we were driving by a church and my little brother said, "Who's that guy on the tee?" and my mom had to try to explain that. But
a kid after my own heart.
Yeah. Did you, so was there ever, I mean, you never had any, like, did you ever feel any kind of like, the kids never said anything to you, or you never got anything weird from teachers or anything?
Never really got into that.
That's really, really awesome, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a fairly secular community, you know, when I was growing up.
Yeah.
At large, so we just never really got into it.
Yeah.
I remember there was this one road trip I took with my dad. He would be driving like golf course care equipment across the state to do, or across the United States to do trade shows and stuff. So every once in a while he'd drag me along, and that's how I did a lot of traveling when I was a kid. And there was a really long one where we're driving through the mountains somewhere. He goes, and I bet I was 10. And he goes, "Has anybody really talked to you about religion?" I said, I know a little bit about it, but you know, I don't really care. And he goes, "Oh, okay." And
wow,
that was the end.
That was my life. So,
yeah. What's yours?
I was raised Catholic. I was actually confirmed. My dad was actually going to be a priest.
No.
Clearly, he decided against that. But
I wonder why.
He was, no, he told a great story, which I think sums up the clergy to me. When he was going to the seminary at the University of St. Thomas, he told this story that in the cafeteria in the seminary at the University of St. Thomas, when you went into the cafeteria for dinner, the desserts were already set at the table. Mm-hmm. So what would happen is when the doors opened and all these guys at the seminary who were going to become priests, shepherds of men, When that door opened, they would all run into the room as fast as they could and stick their finger in the biggest dessert. That to me just sums up the Catholic Church, right?
Putting their fingers where they don't belong.
Just walking around trying to stick its finger in the biggest dessert.
The biggest dessert being.
I wasn't going to go there, but that, yeah.
Well, you weren't going to go there. The Catholic Church already did plenty.
But I was the pedophiles here. Don't awe at us.
But I was confirmed. I went to a very liberal Catholic church, and it's probably a good thing I did, because when I went through the confirmation classes, nobody mentioned anything about, like, transubstantiation, because I'm pretty sure...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm pretty sure if somebody had said to me, no, it actually becomes... flesh and blood, I would have said, "You're fucking with me, right?"
Yeah. So I was in catechism. They told us about that, and I was a very intense small child, and I believed very faithfully what anybody in authority told me. And so I was the nun told me that you can't chew the Eucharist because it will turn to flesh and blood in your mouth, and you'll go to hell. So I
what the hell?
I know. So I spent an entire summer practicing this. Oh boy! Swallowing.
Kind of your sister acts seem a lot more sinister.
I took bread. I would take a piece of bread. I would take the crusts off. I would flatten it out into a disc about the size of the Eucharist wafer, and then practice swallowing it whole. And then I was eventually to the point where I could swallow an entire piece of bread. Yeah. No, seriously though, like a piece of bread that like I'd ball it up to the size of a golf ball and just try to swallow it, just to make sure it would be okay, because I was really panicking. And my mom found out what I was doing and was horrified. Just and like call the nuns, and the nuns like, "It sounds like she's very pious." So I, for Lent one year, I wanted to give up food like Jesus. So I asked my mom if I could just give up food for 40 days, and she said no. And I cried for like the entire night, because I'm like, "I'll never go to heaven if you don't let me do what I want."
Makes sense.
Nick, how were you? You were raised like Lutheranish first.
Yeah, well, my mom is the daughter of a Lutheran minister. Who's kind of a Jimmy Carter, Fred Rogers kind of hippie Lutheran guy. But then, like, cousins, uncles, great uncles, like, the whole, that side of my family is all a bunch of Lutheran ministry people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all fairly reasonable folks, but mild, you know, Minnesotan Lutherans. But my dad's a Catholic farm boy. So they clashed in some regards, but never... me and my brother never saw any of it, because it was like, "Oh yeah, we fought a lot about what you're going to be named," because he insisted on a Catholic name, even though I'd never been to a Catholic church in like until I was, you know, 14 or 15 for a wedding or something or other. But around when my mom came out, and my parents started getting divorced, my mom was like, well, you know, reevaluating her whole life as an adult. I mean, she's, what else have I not experienced? What else is, can I, she's figuring out her identity, which is awesome to have when you're like 12 or 13 and you're doing the same thing. It was great. I was starting to date girls. She was starting to date girls. It was pretty awesome.
After a date, you could sit down at home. You could both have some ice cream and root beer and just talk it over.
They had rules about it.
Yeah. We both got dumped in the same like week once, and so there was a night where we like watched Dirty Dancing and like ate an entire jar of peppercini peppers, and like that was our night.
Talked about how bitches be crazy.
Yeah. around that time we started going to a Unitarian church, you know, and 34th and DuPont, which is the more like kind of hippie spiritual one than more secular one, and that was awesome because there people didn't really care what you believed in as long as you weren't a dick.
What's funny is lately we've had, since Nick and I kind of, I don't want to say came out, but like became decidedly atheist and started the podcast and became more vocal about it, we've had dinners with his mom where she's gotten a little tipsy on wine and been like, I don't think there's a God either. I don't. I'll just say it. I don't think there's a God. And it's like, okay.
Can you say that when you're sober?
Yeah, exactly.
And my stepmom is... She's a little bit more like level-headed and calm than my mom is in that regard, and so she's like, yeah. I mean, we don't really, we don't care. It's cool. It's nice. It's relatable, and that's kind of fairly recent for them, too.
So Melissa, just real quick, one last thing about this, and then I know that you have five questions for us, but because you're a repeat guest, and that is your guest right. Is there anything that you think that being raised without religion and not having any kind of religious knowledge has given you in terms of a benefit?
I think I'm tremendously relaxed.
That's well put. I mean, not a lot of guilt.
There's something to be said for having like the cultural background of knowing religion that I'm completely missing out upon, and you know it. I think traveling in Europe may have been have had a little bit like another level of understanding towards all these archaeological sites. I worked on like Roman archaeological sites in Spain at one point in my life, and it would have had like an additional level, which would have been nice. But you know, other than that, it's like you know you get to. I see a lot of people just racked with guilt or really up in a ball about this stuff. And with me, it's like, whatever.
So you see everybody, your kids are going to be great.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, so you have five questions for us, and we each have to answer your five questions. Yes, I'm very excited for this.
I can't wait.
I know, right? All right. They better be good or God help you.
What is your current ringtone and why? If it is not your ideal ringtone, what would that be?
I will start. My current ringtone, that's just kind of my default, is Lost Woods from Ocarina of Time. So that I love it. I think the only thing I'm thinking of changing it to the Gravity Falls theme song, because that's Nick's and I love it, but I can't because he has it. So Nick, tell him you can play yours.
It's it's awesome cartoon. It's so good. It's dope, right?
That's good.
You should, it's on Nickelodeon and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's like if Twin Peaks was a cartoon show about a boy and girl twin sister. And they live with their wacky uncle who's trying to scam everyone out of money. I don't know what's not to love about that?
Nothing at all.
What's yours, Tim?
I just got a new phone, so I haven't customized it yet. It's just a lame ass marimba thing.
You have marimba as your ringtone.
I am so disappointed.
Getting a custom ringtone on here is a little bit of work, and I haven't had the time. For me,
yeah, you have to go to iTunes and download.
You have to drag and then you have to drop.
You know, it's a little fucking. It's a little more challenging than that if you want to do it. Anyway, my ideal ringtone is the Raiders of the Lost Ark theme. So.
And that's what I already have assigned to you in my phone.
It'll be that eventually.
When Eric Knight calls me, it plays him singing Match Game.
Yeah, me too.
All right, awesome.
Mine's Magnum P.I.
That's a good question.
All right. How do you deal with armrests in a movie theater or airplane?
Oh, man.
My answer is Nick's answer, basically.
Yeah. So, that guy answer. For Molly and my honeymoon, we waited a year and we flew to Holland. Across the ocean on the way there, not bad. We got three seats. That way we can, I you know, need the extra seat, but then she gets like the other third of the seat. Or
yeah, they always ask when we check in, which one of you needs the extra seat? I am not even kidding. It's like, wow, that's, thanks for making us say that out loud, but that's, yeah, no, it's me.
It's literally singling me out there. And so, usually, you know, we between the two of us, we split a seat. The extra seat.
Yep.
Movie theater too, maybe like the arms up is
in a movie theater, you take one and a third and I take 2/3.
I like
two-thirds.
To sit on the edge because I'm not just a big guy, I'm a tall guy. I mean, I'm like 6'4", I need a lot of leg room. So sitting on the edge of the theater aisle, you can kind of, or at the front with the bars, you know, that's the ideal seating. But on our way back from Holland, the seat armrest would only go up about like a Heil Hitler length, like angle. Like, you know, 45
useless.
Degrees or whatever.
And I'm going to call 45 degrees the Heil Hitler.
Why not?
I wrote a sternly worded letter and got refunded for that portion of our journey for that seat because that was fucking bullshit.
The entire flight across the ocean, I had an armrest like this, like up the side, kind of turned sideways, like going up.
Also,
it was incredibly uncomfortable, but we don't fly a lot.
As an aside, so since you can't have pork, we decided to go with the kosher meal, not realizing we were traveling during Passover. And the kosher meal during Passover is not good.
We eat that food to, like, atone for... Because here's some awful food to make you feel better about being a bad person. Whatever else. It was bad.
And you're saying your answer is Nick's answer.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I'm by myself, I don't know. I just sit with the armrests.
I think the way I deal with it is a direct problem of being raised in Minnesota in that I feel that one armrest belongs to me and one armrest belongs to the person sitting next to me.
Yes.
But I'll typically allow the person sitting next to me to make that decision, which means sometimes they both decide to take the armrest.
Go ahead. There's actually etiquette rules.
Well, there is etiquette. Don't take my fucking armrest. It's the etiquette.
the rules of etiquette, it's airplanes and movie theaters, is the same. And that's if you're left to the middle, you take the left one. If you're right to the middle, you take the right one. That's proper etiquette. You all are educated.
The
now.
Etiquette when you're sitting next to me is you take the one next to me. Like that's right. I just always end up in the middle seat.
Sure.
So I'm at the wrong spot. It's also like the etiquette with me is, see, I like the aisle seat because I'm not as tall as Nick, but I have pretty long legs. And so I like the aisle seat so I can stretch out. And that means that I'm guaranteed to have some asshole that sits in front of me that puts their seat back as soon as they're allowed to and leaves it there until the flight attendant wakes them up at the end of the fucking flight to lift their seat back up. So I don't know. I think it's a Minnesota thing. It's personal.
No, I feel that.
They know I'm an atheist.
I feel those feels.
We went to the midnight Star Trek Into Darkness at the IMAX at the zoo, like the real IMAX, not LIMAX.
Uh-huh.
And we sat kind of towards the middle to get that 3D sweet spot where we normally don't sit.
Yep.
And they're packing it in because it's sold out. And the dude who chooses next to sit to the fat guy on my left.
Who is also a larger gentleman, despite the fact that he has smaller friends.
I've got my arm on my armrest to my left because I'm left in the middle of the theater, you know, following etiquette. And he is, for about like a half hour before the movie starts, passive-aggressively...
jockeying for position.
Like kind of get an elbow in there, squeeze one in to like establish a beachhead. And finally, after like a half hour of me like ignoring his passive aggressiveness, he says, "Something's got to be done about this armrest situation." And I said, "Oh yeah, man, no, it's cool. Our airplane rules. I take the one on the left. You take the one to your left. Person on the end gets theirs on their left." He goes, And I was like, "All you had to do was say something, bro. I'd be happy to explain the situation."
Lawyered.
To you.
Victory for Nick.
All right. Yes. Question three.
Question three. What is your favorite soup?
Ooh. God, I love soup.
Broccoli cheddar. Broccoli cheddar. I know, it's boring, but I fucking love broccoli cheddar soup. It's just, it's yummy.
All right, so
it's broccoli and cheddar. That's what I'm saying. Same bowl.
Hot soup. I love a chicken wild rice, specifically the one at Kowalski's. Cold soup, gazpacho. I love gazpacho. Like I really, really like it. I went to Spanish camp a lot, so.
I like tomato basil or like a tomato soup.
Tomato basil bacon square
is really good.
Oh, that's the bomb.
But yeah, that's like my childhood tomato soup.
None of those soups have broccoli or cheddar.
Yeah, your soup looks like someone vomited into a bowl and smells like farts. So I'm not interested.
Those are hot vomit farts.
Molly Z in the audience now. I've ruined soup for her. I just think just in general. All right.
If you had $1 million, what is the most ridiculous thing you would buy?
Ridiculous thing you would buy, huh?
Ridiculous.
Come on, Molly, you got an answer.
Yeah, I do. Okay, so I would buy, for $1 million, I would have to buy, like, first edition signed of every Stephen King book ever. That's what I would go for. Every single fucking Stephen King book, first edition signed hardcover, that's what I would spend. And I wouldn't want to go get him signed by him because I would lose my mind and not be able to be cool. So I just want them pre-signed. That's fine.
I think I would. I want like a room in our new house that we buy to be a like Doctor Doom like shrine with a Latverian throne to like in the middle and like paint it like green and black and like the Latveria colors with a Latveria flag on the wall and then shelves for all my figures. And,
I support
and
this idea.
Statues and stuff like that and like a big Nick-sized fucking pimp-ass Doctor Doom throne.
Basically, so you can sit on it and tell me that
fucking armrests, right?
Yeah.
That would happen.
Tim, what about you?
You know, I have a tough time with this one. There are a lot of ridiculous things I would buy. I think what I would probably do is I would buy the most tricked out RV I could get.
Mm.
And I would quit my job and I would just drive around the country staying
aimlessly.
Going to national parks for the rest of my life.
Oh, like, national parks.
For 40 fucking years. That's what I would
do. I just want to note that the guy who said he'd build a shrine to a fictional character just called you a fucking nerd.
I can live with that.
All right. You got one more?
I got one more.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
What is the best movie you have seen in the last month?
Oh, man.
I want to know, man.
Well, it wasn't World War Z.
I got an answer.
Really?
I got an answer.
Yeah.
All right. The best movie I've seen in the last month is The Maltese Falcon. I watched it almost exactly a month ago, and really, in any month in which I've watched movies that The Maltese Falcon is included, pretty much it's going to be The Maltese Falcon. That's the best movie I've seen in the last month.
Fair enough.
And if you haven't seen The Maltese Falcon, what is wrong with you?
I don't like it.
I don't like old movies.
I know. You don't like it because you're crazy.
No. Well.
Yes.
They fixed it.
Then how is it that you don't like The Maltese Falcon? I don't understand.
I
haven't seen it.
I think this is the end.
Mm,
I think that's what I would say. It was very funny. The religious themes were a little like boring after a while, but it was very funny. I like Seth Rogen and those guys.
I am a man because we see all the same movies, and that's what I was gonna say. So fuck you, Nick. You know, I watched Drop Dead Gorgeous on TV a couple weeks ago, and that is a goddamn amazing movie, which I can quote from start to finish. So that's, if you haven't seen Drop Dead Gorgeous, it is set in Minnesota, in small Mount Rose, Minnesota, and it's about a beauty pageant that takes place there, and it's so funny, and it's got Kirsten Dunst and, you know, Kirstie Alley, Denise Richards. It's, I don't know, it's really good. It's very black, dark comedy. So.
And the makeup in that film was done by former Convergence guest of honor, Chris Ballas.
I had no idea. That doesn't surprise me. Oh, it's really funny when they say they're going to the Mall of America and they're in the Eden Prairie, the old Eden Prairie Mall parking lot.
Yeah. The Mall Rats Mall, baby.
Yeah. It's like, could you not go to the Mall of America? It's not that much further.
The Eden Prairie Mall got a lot of work out.
I know.
Because it looked like the 80s vomited on it.
Awesome.
It was great.
Yeah. All right. So Melissa, a little bird told me, Tim Wick told me that last time you had your answer for our fifth question, which is what is the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about your atheism, you want to redo.
Yes.
All right, so Melissa.
Yes.
Question five, what is the stupidest thing anyone has ever asked you about your atheism or said to you?
Well, it wasn't so much thing said, but this happened when I was in the Galapagos. P.Z. Myers was on the boat, so he can vouch for this. This entire boat had been chartered by the James Randi Educational Foundation, so there were a bunch of skeptics and atheists on the boat. It held about 90 people, so it wasn't a very large cruise ship, but, you know, it was entirely our group. The people on the boat were all Ecuadorian, and the gentleman who would come out onto the deck to play lovely tunes on his little Casio tone organ barely spoke English. I don't know if he spoke much at all, really. But after a couple of days of playing music for us, he noticed that we weren't really engaged with the music. So the story goes that he went to somebody else on the ship and asked what atheists were, because he heard the term and he didn't know what it was. And the person he asked said, "I think that means they're Jewish." Now, I don't know if this was an honest mistake or if they were fucking with him. But the cabana boy, he was beautiful. He was like somewhere between 19 and 22, and just beautiful, big, perfect smile, little Hawaiian shirt. He was going to win his way in our hearts. He was ready to do good by us. So there was a lunch where he came out and started playing. And what we saw as people who were eating lunch on the ship, or heard rather, you know, as we were chatting with each other, we heard Hava Nagila. That's Hava Nagila.
Well, that's a little weird.
Interesting choice. But, you know, who doesn't love Hava Nagila? Yeah. You know, that's kind of, it's
festive.
It's a festive tune. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. And then we'd go back to talking, and we, you know, about 10, 15 minutes go by. And then you notice it's still Hava Nagila. He's going through every variation of Hava Nagila he can think of, because that is the only Jewish song he knows. The entire meal was Hava Nagila.
Wow.
By the time he got to the end of this, if he had an album, like CDs printed that were just him playing Hava Nagila, I would have bought 10 of them. Because I would have had holiday gifts for everybody. It was astounding.
That's awesome. Yes. All right. Oh, man. All right. Well, thank you so much. Melissa Karacher, everybody. She's been our guest. Awesome. We are Geeks Without God. Thank you for joining us for our anniversary podcast. As always, you can find us at geekswithoutgod.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. If you want to answer our regular 5 questions, which we'll get to in the next episode, you can send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. Thank you, Convergence. Let's hear it. Thanks to Melissa Karacher for our totally sweet logo.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts on geekswithoutgod.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter @geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This Geeks Without God sticker has been to Ireland.